welcome to another episode of Coast to Coast Hockey, where we talk everything hockey. I am your host, Derek, and I'm along with my best friend, Emmett Aronson.
And co-host, and we are back and excited to be talking more fantasy hockey and hockey. And it is a beautiful day, and I hope all is well with those who are listeners. And our big story this week is an interesting one, isn't it?
It is. It's been an interesting week for a lot of stories. I wish we could do just a podcast of just big stories today, but the big one is what's going on in Columbus, Emmett. Some interesting rumors came out this weekend, and then all of a sudden everyone reported on it today. TSN, Bleacher Report, Score, everyone's got this big story on Bravoski deciding to take a shower instead of staying on the bench.
Yeah, it just seemed pretty cryptic, right? It just happened this week, and like the incident happened on January 8th, and then he got sat and benched, and it just seemed pretty cryptic, and then we finally like got the report. And what was that report, Derek?
Basically, after he got pulled, instead of sitting on the bench like he normally would, he just went into the locker room and took a shower and said, "I'm not sitting out there," which I thought, to me, just comes off as what a poor sport. Like, you had a bad game, you got pulled, but you sit out there and support your team. Like, that's what a team player is. All you told anyone is, "A, I'm not a team player. I don't care what happens because I'm pissed off that you pulled me." Even though it was like he let in three goals and eight shots, I think, something like that. So in my mind, to save the game, you had to pull him.
Yeah, I kind of wrote it off as like, and the full disclosure, I'm a Torts hater. Always have been, always will be. And we'll get into Torts a little bit. But that being said, like, we had no idea what happened until this week. So, like, the fact is, what would have happened if Korpisalo had gotten injured and Bobrovsky decided to hit the showers? Were they going to bring in their equipment guy? Put the pads on him?
No, probably not. But there is something in this report that I was just looking at. Do you really realize that he didn't get pulled? He got pulled 11 minutes left in the game. So, I mean, you basically sat him in a 4-0 loss for almost 2.5 periods, 11 minutes left in the game, and then you decide to pull him? I kind of with you that there might be a Tortorella situation in there. Like, what makes the change that with 11 minutes left, you think you're going to come back in the game? Like, it still doesn't make up the excuse that you can just do what you want as a goaltender. And you have to think that there might be more to the story, but it does seem suspect to me that this is such a huge issue. And we've talked a lot this year that Bravoski has not confirmed that he's coming back. And the more you look at the situation, the more you wonder, could he not be coming back, period?
Well, you know, this is like if anyone kind of understands their nature of what's going on with their team, they're in huge trouble for cap purposes. Like, if you look at the team now, they have to re-sign Ryan Murray and Werenski this coming year. Now, I'm not saying Ryan Murray is going to ask for a huge amount, but I think he's going to ask at least $4 million. And I think Zach Werenski, his down season, but I think he could ask for, you know, quite a big raise. So, and then Artem Panarin's a UFA. So, you know, how many guys in the league right now can we say who've been as consistent as Artem Panarin?
Oh, I agree. And I think as an owner, a manager, and a coach, you're looking at the situation and you're looking at that list that you just pointed out. And in your mind, you're saying, I want to put the money towards someone that wants to be here. And the reality is this, going back to the whole topic in hand, by him leaving and taking a shower, if Korpisalo got injured, there was no goaltender to back up Corpusalo. Like, he couldn't go back into the game. So, what then? They have to forfeit the game? And then on top of that, the general manager, Jarmo Kalanian, kept Bravoski from joining the team for the January 10th contest versus Nashville for disciplinary actions. And they didn't release it until today. And since then, Bravoski's only started one game since the incident, winning a 7-5 decision over the New York Rangers. So you gotta think that they're not very happy with him. Seth Jones, Boone Jenner, Cam Atkinson were part of the group that pulled Bravoski aside for a meeting before they got on the flight to Tampa Bay to talk to him. So obviously teammates weren't very happy about it. So you have to think that there's some issues, man.
Well, like, I guess, like, just my question is, this is a serious situation, a lot like the Eric Carlson situation in Ottawa, where if they just given him the money he wanted before the season started, would there have been a happy Bobrovsky? Like, I asked the question, and I think this can be a valid question given the nature of how some of these RFAs are being handled. You know, William Nylander with these contract type of things, you know. Would they have had that issue with Bobrovsky if they had just paid him before? Like, Artem Panarin has said that he's not going to even talk about his contract until the end of the year. That means he's literally going to walk on him, or they're going to trade him, and they have no say whatsoever what they're going to do. And, like, you look at this thing where other teams are in this situation too right now, you know. Auston Matthews and Marner.
Yeah, Mitch Marner is like Penner, and he will not talk about it until the end of the year.
The nice thing about that is he's an RFA, so they have some sort of hold on the guy. But as a UFA, he could just walk both of these guys. So am I wrong to say that if he had actually just – they'd actually just signed him right from the start, Panarin and Bobrovsky, and then decided to move players. Would that have been a better option here?
It might have been, but I think they played the card of wanting to see what players turned into, right? You mentioned Zach Werenski, a couple other guys that they're looking at. And I also think we were starting to hear a little bit of complaints about Columbus from Panarin and Bravoski last year. So this is not just a this year issue. I mean, this time last year, Panarin wasn't happy with where he was at. He wasn't super vocal, but you heard rumblings. You haven't heard anything from Panarin this year, so I don't know what the situation on that is, but we are seeing unsettled waters with Bravoski, and you have to think that he's hoping to be treated like a Carey Price, and I don't think he's been treated like that for Columbus, even though he deserves to be the backbone of that team.
The other thing is, he's putting up his worst season in the last 5 years. Like, this is his worst season. He has a 2.93 goals against average. He has a low 900 save percentage. And he only has 19 wins this year, which isn't actually bad considering Columbus is actually second in their division. So, like, it's one of those ones where it's very interesting because we know his value. Like, what value point is this situation going into? Like, I guess the Bobrovsky camp would say, we want to be a 2.42 goals against average to Bobrovsky, which last year. But the Vezina winning trophy winner was actually 2016-17 season, where he was a 2.06 931 save percentage. But yet he wants to get paid as that contract.
And the reality is that if you're Bravoski, you wanted to get paid last year, because this year all goaltenders suck. Even the guys that are doing good, they're still below average based on the pads and everything going out this year and the amount of scoring. There's not a safe goaltender right now. Like, especially when we talk fantasy wise, you're better off at trying to figure out just week by week who you're going to add, because Carey Price has not done well. Bravoski's not done well. I mean, Gibson's the only guy that's showing any part of being still a really good goaltender, and look what team he's on. So, for me, it's hard to say, well, Bravoski doesn't get paid because he had a bad year, when all goaltenders are having a bad year because they're adjusting. And the reality is, yeah, I think you would have liked to get the numbers in 2016, but you've got too many good players coming out now that are just too good that, unfortunately, there's more players than goaltenders, which means you want to put that money to players rather than goaltending.
And the guy's 30 years old. Just in comparison purpose, Carey Price is 31 years old. Carey Price is going to make $10.5 million per year through 2024-2025 season. Bobrovsky wants that kind of numbers, but yet his stock is just not that. And I just think it's quite interesting, and I think this might be one of the biggest reasons why they're not willing to give him the money necessarily, because did you realize that the Columbus Blue Jackets have not won a first-round playoff matchup in franchise history?
I did not know that, but that makes sense.
Say they've lost Pittsburgh twice and once the Capitals. So even if you give these guys the money, how do you know this core group can even get it done?
Well, and that's the problem with the new... This is a totally different rant in itself. But when Columbus is always making second place, they always have to play Pittsburgh or Capitals. Let's be fair. That's a disastrous matchup. It's almost like David and Goliath. You don't really have a chance. I don't care how strong your slingshot is. And so for me, it's a bummer for Columbus. But you're almost better off at taking the money that you could get from Bravosky and adding more depth and trying to get them faster, trying to get them more solid defense. And maybe you get a decent goaltender to balance you out. But, I mean, that's kind of my mindset, is that I agree with you that I don't think they've got what it takes to really make it past the people that they have to always play. And the reality is it'll get even worse if both Panarin and Bravosky leave. Because if you look at the numbers, Panarin really pushes that offense. Without him on that team, I don't think Josh Anderson is Josh Anderson. He's not worth talking about.
Yeah, it's clear to me, I believe, that this rift is not just, oh, this is a isolated incident. You're absolutely right. I don't think we're going to see Bobrovsky in a uniform, Columbus uniform. And I'm actually honestly starting to feel he's going to get moved at the deadline. I think they will probably try to give Panarin the moon. So, you know, $10, $11 million type money, which I don't think he's worth that money. But at the end of the day, they can't let him walk. But Bobrovsky, I think they will try to move him just because of how this isolated incident has happened.
And it comes down to Panarin. He's going to be the Rick Nash of Columbus Blue Jackets if you keep him, right? Which the problem is there is you better start build around Panarin better than you did around Rick Nash, or he'll want to move too. So Columbus has to not repeat history here, because we've seen this before. There is a history of not building players around them. I think that's why Austin Edmonton's doing as much as they are, because they realize they have to build around. But David, when you have a star on your team, you have to support that star. So it'll be very interesting where things go from here.
Yeah, the other note on top of that big story on that thing is that Korpisalo, their other goalie, he needs to be assigned as well. He's an RFA coming next year too. So, and the guy's only 24 years old. So I get the feeling he's the future. And so that being said, I don't see how Bobrovsky's going to get the money he wants, unfortunately, unless he gets like a Pekka Rinne type contract.
So before we move on, just real quick, what team do you think goes out to try to get Bobrovsky this year?
You know, I get the feeling, given how this situation has gone and the way it is, I have more guesses to believe that I think people are going to stick the dealer in this one. But that being said, I would, I think there's teams like Colorado would love to have a Bobrovsky on their team.
Maybe Calgary?
Calgary, I think they're happy with Rittich. Don't quote me. I don't see why they shouldn't be unhappy with him. Even like even St. Louis would probably take a
Bobby over Allen.
Oh, yeah, that actually might not be a bad exchange. You know, both those guys could use a change of scenery. New Jersey definitely could use them. They're right on that bubble in their conference.
The other team I was kind of playing around, and all these fans might disagree with me, but Talbot's not looking any better. And Bobby might look really good in the Edmonton Oilers jersey.
Yeah, he definitely. I think he would be a really good target.
Or Vancouver Canucks.
The money's going to be a huge issue. Because then you'd be tying McDavid, Drysdale, and Bobrovsky with like $10 million each. So what did Drysdale sign for? Just short of $10 million? Yeah. It was like $9.5 million or something? Yeah, $9 million?
Like $9.75 million, I think. I don't quote me on that, but it's gross.
Yeah, it's basically that's like just short third of their team contract in three players. I don't know if they really want to do that. But that being said, I think they're going to try to give him a shot. I think there'd be some teams outside of the conference, like Chicago probably wouldn't mind having a guy like him because they're only a goalie away from doing it. Detroit, maybe. Philadelphia. There's some teams, but all those teams are not in the playoffs. So why would they go and sell high on a guy that they could see in the UFA category?
Well, it's just like the same thing. Like I mentioned Vancouver, but why does Vancouver or Philly go and grab Bobrovsky when you have Demko or Carter Hart eventually coming down the pike, especially when you know that he's going to want 5 years, which puts him at 35 years old. I mean, if you're not careful, you'll get stuck with the San Jose problem where you're signing all these 30-year-olds to a 7-year contract, and then they're all going to like retire on you, and then you're stuck with them. It's going to be the new Pronger era all over again. Rest in peace.
It could be the end. I'll just say this to close up, I think. It could be the end of Columbus here shortly. I see the end coming around the corner. I just don't think the core group's going to get it done. They're going to have to buy, basically, to try to give themselves a chance to win this year. And even then, I don't think they have a chance. They're in a lose-lose situation, if you ask me.
I agree.
Just to add on to our big story, you can't ignore what's going on in Anaheim, right?
Oh, man. Pacific Division rival. I'm watching Anaheim all the time. I thought they would drop off. You and I called that they were going to drop off, but I wasn't ready for how badly they have dropped off. 11 losses, and I know you're looking at it right in front of you, but check my math here. I think there's only like 2 games in that 11 games where they've scored more than 1 point.
It's crazy. And the crazy thing about it is in December when I was there, you now just talking about how this team is actually playing some hockey. Like their December categories are actually quite good.
Yeah, it's like they just went and hung out with their family and drank too much eggnog, and now their hockey took a dump.
And then all of a sudden it hit December 18th, hit around, is like 3-1, 3-1, 3-0, 4-2. Then they, you know, overtime loss, 5-4, 2-1. You're right. Like literally their goals for is incredibly terrible. And they're not just losing. They're losing by some decent margins. And then, you know, you get embarrassed by Pittsburgh at home. Like, it's not even close. Outside of, like, their borderline OT losses, really, they have nothing to show for this last 11 games. 3 points.
I mean, you look at Ryan Getzlaf has 3 points in the last 12 games. Rickard Rakell came back from injury. Since he's come back, he's had 2 points. So oddly enough, when he came back, even though they're still losing, they started to score. You can't have Getzlaf not scoring. I mean, Silverberg, same thing. He's gotten 4 points in the last 12 games. There's no line chemistry. They can't seem to figure this out. Kase has slowed down. I think, Hampus Lindholm is probably the only guy that's actually worth talking about as a forward or a defenseman. But let's be real, the only guy we're talking about, period, on that team is Gibson. And shame on us for thinking Gibson was going to drop off when the Anaheim Ducks dropped off, because he hasn't. If anything, he's gotten better. He's like, oh, you guys are going to suck? Don't worry, I'm going to get the Vezina Trophy this year because I'm that good. Shame on Derek for dropping me. Shame on Derek.
Okay, just in fairness, though, could he really get the Vezina Trophy on a terrible team?
Well, it's not the Hart Trophy. He's not carrying the team to victory. It's a Vezina Trophy.
His numbers have dropped, though, too. He's let 4 goals in last game, 6 goals in the game before that, had a good game on January 9th. Like, you know, his numbers are getting worse as Anaheim gets worse, but yet, you know, there's games where, like, this is a guy who's faced the most shots in the NHL.
I know. And that tells me another thing. I bet if you were to look up the blocks, I bet you they're not blocking. I don't think people are taking block shots. Like, the couple games I've watched, their defense looks non-existent. Actually, their whole team looks non-existent. They look old. They look slow. They look not confident at all.
Yeah, it's absolutely like Ryan Kesler looks old. He looks like he's just a fourth-line player.
Yeah, and this goes back to the whole thing to wrap this up. You've got a coach that is losing every game, that is not getting them to do any scoring. And the GM comes out this week and says he's not getting canned. If anything, we're excited that he's a part of our team. We love the work he's doing with our team. And he's safe. So is it a player problem? Are you basically saying, you know what? I really like you, coach. We're just going to rebuild. And then right after they come out and they say, hey, you're safe. The very next day or 2 days later, they do a trade for Devin Shore, which is getting younger. And then you trade an old veteran. Is this the start of the big boom that we're going to just start seeing a rebuild? I don't know, but it's something to worth keep an eye on.
Well, they should have been rebuilding already. I just look at their team and we've already chalked their team up as old. But so, like, Ryan Getzlaf, could he be on the block at the deadline? Should he be on the block?
I guarantee you he is, and I guarantee you the San Jose Sharks are going to go get him because that's how...
They're not going to move him to San Jose. That's way too close. He doesn't even need to, like, change houses. He could just drive up the highway.
You know what? I'm cool with that. Just watch out for the snowstorms on I-5. But...
And for those people who think, wow, this guy's an idiot. Anaheim and San Jose are way far away. I'm an ignorant Canadian who don't know the whole, you know, I'm like the kind of guy I think you can go to LA for the day, you know? And you're like, no, don't even bomb.
No, and I'm not saying he'll go to the Sharks. I'm just saying I would not be surprised if you see Corey Perry, Getzlaf, possibly Silverberg being moved at the deadline. I mean, it would make sense. You get some picks. This is the future of the Pacific Division. LA is right behind them. San Jose Sharks are right behind them. You gotta do something in California. You're gonna be the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks of the 2010 to now era.
Yeah, and it's an interesting story. You know, I actually just watch television now and like watch the halftime shows because I like to hear people talk about who they believe is gonna be on the block. The deadline. It's very interesting to hear. And there's actually, you know, all these Drager, McKenzie, all these guys are coming out with lists. So we'll definitely get back to you all on that one as that list goes on. And we are 3 weeks away. Where are we at now? 3 weeks away from the deadline?
Yeah, close to 3 weeks away.
So we have an all-star break coming up. And then we're going to get ready for the deadline. And so... So that's a big story on top of the big story. And I think that this Anaheim team is an interesting team, and I'm kind of glad they're losing. I'll be honest, I'm not a big Anaheim fan. So
you won't hear any complaints from me.
That being said, I think time for the fantasy ads. And who are you eyeing this coming week, Derek? Who is a good person that fantasy owners should be considering? And this is kind of the, not the dog days, but it's kind of the grinded out time.
So, there is a team that is on a hot streak that shouldn't be, but you should ride it out as long as they are. And their name are the Arizona Coyotes. And with that being said, they have been on all cylinders. They just lost, but they had won their last 3 games and they're scoring more. And one of those guys is Connor Garland. He is a right wing playing for Arizona. He's getting about anywhere from 15 to 13 minutes. He's got 6 points in the last 5 games. He's been pretty hot. He's only 7% owned. He's great for you deep leaguers that are listening to us. I would definitely look at him. I also really like, besides having to play San Jose, Pittsburgh, Toronto, you have to think that they're going to get some points in as they get ready to get on this road trip. So that's my pick, and I'm going to go see him play, actually, tomorrow, so I'll be able to tell you if he's the big deal or not.
Well, he's certainly scoring goals, and my pick this week, you know, it's interesting. He doesn't get a ton of minutes, but I always thought this team was floundering, but the Ottawa Senators, Bobby Ryan, has played very, very good hockey. The guy's got 10 points in the last 11 games. Not really the goal scorer he used to be. He hasn't been the goal scorer he used to be of old, but that being said, he's got 3 goals in his last 10 games. He basically puts up a couple shots a game, does okay for blocking. He's just one of those guys that he's also in that kind of deep league spot where he's 9% owned. And at this point in time, I just think he's a really good fit for a team that's looking for just some depth scoring without having to trade for some.
I agree. And talk about depth anything, that leads me to my third pick. And that's Jordan Binnington. I don't know if you've been following Jordan Binnington at all, Emmett, but he got the second star of the week for the NHL last week. And listen to these numbers. He posted a 300 in that span with a 0.67 goals against average, a 0.974 percentage, and one shutout. He turned aside 74 of 76 shots during that span. And he became the 35th goaltender in the league to post a shutout in his first NHL debut. He's playing again tonight for St. Louis against New York Islanders. I think with the way Allen has been struggling, Jordan Binnington is going to get the starts coming towards the end of the stretch. And it's a really good add. He's only 30% owned. People haven't quite picked up that he's a steal right now. So I would grab him as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I like that. And don't look now. The St. Louis Blues have played a little better hockey, too. So not only getting solid starts, but you're getting wins to go with it, too. So I definitely love that add.
Yeah, I know you do since you added him.
Yeah, he's a nice little Band-Aid for...
You're going to need it after yesterday's matchup. Maybe you'll get a shutout tonight and make your woes disappear.
I always find that goals like him are getting better starts than some others, and it all comes down to the start itself. But that being said, the other ad I'm looking at this week is Tanner Pearson. Now, this Pittsburgh team, talk about a streaking team. This Pittsburgh team is streaking. And one thing I really like about him is that even when he's not scoring points, he's actually putting up some decent peripherals too. He has basically played only about 13, 14 minutes, but as of last year, he had 2 goals, he had 1 goal, 1 goal. He is actually fitting very well on that Pittsburgh team, and I like him moving forward just for a nice sneaky sleeper pick, right? He's kind of like that Komarov or the Hyman type pickup, you know?
And it's cool because he's on nobody's radar. No one's talking about him. He's not been red hot enough to, like, be on everybody's radar, so he's not jumping up on your ads. Like, when you go on Yahoo Fantasy and it shows ads, he's not getting added on a regular basis. So he doesn't pop up on the top of transaction trends, which is great. So you can pick him up this week before he really starts to get hot and you'll be ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and he gets to play top 6 minutes next to Gino and playing second line power play. And it's a nice look for deep leagues. The other interesting player I looked at, and I think many people are starting to wonder who's going to be moving, who's not going to be moving. But I would say we should be looking at guys like Wayne Simmonds, different guys. If you're looking to try to buy a player who's going to be moved to the deadline, I think for fantasy owners, we need to be kind of watching that out and trying to find guys that fit that mold.
And I'm glad you brought that up because, listeners, stay tuned. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to be kind of giving you some hints on who you should be grabbing and keeping track of that as we get closer to the trade deadline. But I have one more ad for you, Emmett, that I am just off the cusp here. He just got cleared from being injured, and that's Jonas Donskoy. He's playing tonight.
Ooh.
The guy has been a rock star. Actually, the entire San Jose Sharks, if you're looking for a team to ride while they're hot, it is definitely the Sharks team. All three lines have been really good. He's got 11 points in the last 12 games, so he's been red hot, and they're giving him lots of opportunities. And the cool thing is he's only doing that in like 14 to 11 minutes, which means he's being productive with little ice time. And he gets you a couple of peripherals. He's shooting a lot. So I would say with the back-to-back tonight and tomorrow, it's a good ad.
I like that one. That's a huge one. The other option that is quickly going through is I found the goalie situation has kind of worked itself out right now and starting to work itself out a little more. So if Lehner is sitting on your FA, he should be on your team. He's 69% owned. He should be owned. So pick him up. The other odd thoughts are is Georgiev for the Rangers. He's been a solid player for a struggling Lundqvist. Not a bad little handicap in case you own Lundqvist and you just want to kind of work your way through it.
And talking about getting ahead of those trends, interesting story happened this week on a back-to-back, and Lundqvist was supposed to play, and they played Georgiev for the second straight game. That's got to tell you something and is very an interesting thing to keep an eye on in the coming weeks. I think Georgiev is going to get a lot more starts, considering that New York Rangers are not making the playoffs.
Yeah. The other goalie we definitely got to be considering is Mackenzie Blackwood. 41% owned. He has been very well for the Devils. He got injured there, but he's gone back. And I'm willing to guess they're going to invest on him on a timeshare or even more of a timeshare if he continues to play well.
Oh, yeah.
The other, just a few quick ones, noticeable drops. I would consider dropping Dave Smith. He is probably droppable at this moment in time.
Straight up droppable.
If you're holding on to him, I would consider dropping him. Thomas Greiss, I think he's pretty close to droppable. I would, unless you got a really deep league, you have nothing left to have. At this moment in time, a lot of the goalie situations are kind of getting themselves worked out in a lot of ways. McElhinney, if he's available, he's not a bad investment try. It's still a 50-50 shot, but he's played decent hockey as well.
I have McElhinney, and it is, without a doubt, it's game on, game off, game on, game off. So he's definitely, it's really 50%.
Yeah, that being said, I think there is lots of good options out there for you to stream goalies, drop goalies, and run with that. So that's all we have for today. For us, we'd love it if you would check out our Twitter account. That's hockey_TO. And give us a message. You're getting close to playoff time for some of you. Maybe you're even like getting close to your deadline. We'd love to hear your trade offers or things you're thinking about and just kind of talk about what some of those things are, right?
Yeah, we check it pretty regularly and we love to help people out. Also, if you're interested in learning more about fantasy and even joining a league, check us out. We have lots of connections.
Yep. From Aunt Derek and I, we will catch you guys next time. And so look us up on Twitter. And if you enjoyed the podcast, and we will talk to you guys later.